Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
This is Karen Kilgariff.
We're driving. Oh.
Oop.
Oh.
No.
No, we aren't.
Guess what, you guys?
My car's in the shop. Actually, it will be in the shop right after this.
Why?
This is kind of funny. I was at an audition for a commercial about car insurance.
Yeah.
I was late. I ran in there. I did it really quickly. They had me like skateboard and be a dad. It took 7 minutes. I came out. Someone had sideswiped my entire car.
No.
And then I called my car insurance. And I even told her what the audition was. We had a great talk, but I have to go get it evaluated.
And then at the end of that talk, she said, sorry, we don't cover you for that.
Yeah,
you're going to go ahead and pay that $800 yourself.
I think maybe I am covered. Well, I have to pay it.
Sure.
$500 or something.
Right. As opposed to $3,000.
Yeah.
It's a deal.
But that's the, you know, that could have happened while we were moving. What if that had happened? What if we were on the freeway and we got sideswiped? And Fred Armiston was ejected into a ditch.
It's Armisen.
Armisen. I always add a sten.
Why?
I don't know.
Because of Amistad?
It's just fun, like with, you know, Guy Branum, 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 Branum. It's fun to just mess with people's names.
Oh,
and
yeah, that's
they
true.
Love it. They
He's
love
my
it.
Good friend, and I say his name wrong all the
I
time.
Know, that was passive aggressive. I brought up a name that you have trouble with.
Yeah, do you know you're doing that, or does it just come out naturally?
It just naturally comes out.
Like, I'm the same way.
Here's a spot where I'm real good at finding those spots where maybe I could hurt you. Just with subtle comments.
Yep.
And
innocently spoken. That's how I do it, where it's like only afterwards do I go, whoops, I should have not said that.
It's just a second nature, first nature. It's one of my natures, one of the initial natures, yeah. Much like, you know, Terminator. He sees a monitor and there's like digital readout. I just see where are your vulnerable spots and how can I attack them.
Yeah. You have like a heat register, but it's for my weakness and past mistakes.
Yeah. Your Guy Branum area was glowing orange.
And so you took an AK-47 to it emotionally. Guys, the point of all of this is we are not in a car.
Currently.
This is our first studio episode.
Yeah, and you don't have to add all this meaning to it. We're just trying it out.
Yeah, stop crying or laughing.
Yeah, and don't feverishly write us angry. No, that won't happen.
No, it never does.
No one's upset. That, in my mind, I feel like people are going to be upset. What happened to the mission statement?
Right.
Do you need a ride?
It's what happens to all mission statements. They slowly get forgotten over time and replaced with what actually works feasibly in reality.
Hey, I didn't want to talk politics, but let's do it.
Trump should win.
Well, he went right for it. You know my vulnerable spot.
A man in a weird wig with a hot wife and big ideas for walls.
And I don't like giving him any attention. Even there's so many funny things you can say about him and make fun. But I had access to a baby, my friend's baby, this weekend.
And you had access.
Yeah, yeah. And my friend, a woman, was holding him in his hair. It was just a perfect opportunity to take her hair and just Trump wisp it over his little face. And right then, he made kind of an angry with his pierced lips, and I made a great Trump baby photo. Man.
You got all that? You captured that moment?
Just go to my Instagram and be heartwarmed while laughing.
Drink it in. Oh, I saw you tweeted those Warriors shirts you designed.
I made, yeah.
I want one.
Okay.
Please.
I'm going to have some sent to me, and also they're on onecolor.com.
Ah.
A color spelled with a K.
Okay. So the color's white?
One Kolar.
Oh, German. Yeah.
It's German. Not, it doesn't, it, they, many shirts are available in many different colors on that site. It's okay. Just called One Color.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's not a race-based issue.
No. It's One Color / Superior Race, and we make t-shirts there. I realize now, I named it after doing really well on my bicycle once, but it's Superior Race sounds bad.
Yeah,
I'm going to make sure.
It doesn't sound good at all.
But if you're a fan of the Warriors, the basketball team, or the Warriors, the cult basketball team, or the cult movie,
yeah.
It's like a cult, people with that team. I don't follow basketball myself.
I don't follow basketball, but people retweet these awesome GIFs of those. There was a couple shots. I don't know the names of the young athletes that made them. I know that the one I saw that was insanely impressive, maybe Aaron knows the name of the guy. It was Stephen
Curry.
Because
you're a dude.
You're a dude that likes sports, right, Aaron?
Yeah, you like dunking on nerds.
I'm a baseball guy.
You fucking nerd.
I knew that about him. I like baseball too.
I like baseball too.
Just the smell of Cracker Jacks.
This move, Stephen Curry assisted, passed to this other guy, and he did this thing. Did you see it?
No.
He went to shoot, faked it, and then flipped it underhanded as he fell away, and he made the basket.
Wow.
I can't explain it accurately. It's such an impressive feat that you have to look at it.
Now, when he flung it away, did he know he was shooting? He was aiming kind of towards the basket.
Completely.
I know how to do a nonchalant sideways granny shot. Look at this.
Yes, because it was like the person, he went to do the one he wanted to do. Somebody was there blocking him. So he just changed his shot midair. It was rad.
He just resorted to plan B like a robot.
Like a goddamn sorority girl the morning after. I feel like these jokes are funnier out of the car.
They really are. And you can hear the crispness. You can hear the crispness of me not being able to talk. You can hear the crispness of me just really opening up a bad word present. You can almost hear me not thinking. It's a slow lull. You can just hear my synapses of my brain just being coated in some sort of sugar that shouldn't be in there.
That's right.
Yeah.
You don't eat sugar.
No, I don't. I don't eat a lot of sugar.
Mm-mm.
You gotta watch that.
I just quit sugar.
Really?
Yes, 16 days ago.
Wow.
Quit sugar, quit flour. I'm back on the program.
How do you feel?
I feel fucking great.
Isn't that weird? You do things and you know you're going to feel great because you've done them before and it felt great then. Yep. But it's so hard to get them started.
Yeah, because I was
You don't mind
that.
If I smoke, do you? Come on.
I was in the mode of watching myself eat so much sugar and being like, you're going to get your legs amputated and doing it anyway, which is the worst feeling.
Yeah.
That, as I like to say, cognitive dissonance. So I just was like, I have to stop doing this. This is totally awful.
And it's the hardest part about doing that is being with other people and then you have to talk about it. I hate explaining why I'm not having sugar or gluten. Like, especially gluten. People are like, oh, is it, are you, what is it? The stomach thing. Usually
people think it's a
stomach thing. But for me, it helped with body pain. And my ankles were hurting and they were swollen. And then I quit eating it and it went away. I'm not I'm not preaching, but it worked for me, so.
Why are you holding that Bible then?
Well,
and
because.
Pointing at me that way.
When God made the brethren, I didn't even go to church enough to be able to joke about it.
I think inflammation is the new cancer, and people are getting wise to the fact that your body, inflammation is so bad for your body. They never knew it before.
Yeah.
So any step you take to make that not happen, who gives a fuck what people say about it?
And it's even linked to cancer and linked to things like Alzheimer's.
Let's say it
together, everyone.
Let's be empowered and say it at the same time.
You have been, I've done a few shows with you lately and you talk about how you killed it at your mom's funeral.
Mm-hmm.
I did pretty well at my buddy's Zach's funeral. Combination of laughs and then
heartfelt.
But maybe was this like for you as it was for me, where I would say some things and then it would hit me and my voice would quit working because I was about to cry, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when everyone would tense up and that's where I'd hit him with a joke.
Exactly.
I'm like, yeah.
I think when I got the email from my Aunt Mary, the nun, who said, Karen, we think you should write the eulogy or give the eulogy. I almost wrote back, hell no. I was just like, how come I have to do it? She was my mom. But then I realized.
That being a reason you shouldn't have to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. She was my mom. Why do I have to do the eulogy?
I'm the most hurt, was kind of like my selfish thinking.
Yeah.
Then I was like, I think deep down I've kind of been writing this eulogy for a while because she's been going for a while.
Right.
And so I just tried to think of like all the times I've seen other people speak and like what you actually want to hear. Because it's not about like listing off people's life, whatever. It's talking, I took it like, say the thing that she would want to say if she was standing up here and it was her last chance to talk. And so my mom was fucking hilarious mm-hmm. and really straightforward and really like kind of in your face. And so I think the combination of, and I'm naturally like her anyway. So it's kind of speaking like her. And then, but it's in a church. I mean, it was this huge church we grew up in. The priest was right next to me. My sister told me the priest was like bent over laughing the entire time.
Oh, that's when you're killing with a priest.
That's the ultimate kill.
Yeah, it feels great.
That's 50 points on Big Buck Hunter.
Did you say, here's what my mom would say right now?
Yeah.
Or did you? Yeah.
And what I did, and I told my cousin Stevie before I went up there, because of course, you think like, you know, I know what's going to happen. I know we're glad this is happening. This is a celebration or whatever. But then when you're actually there and it's the day of, you're just ruined, of course.
Yeah.
And so was all my family, like the people in the first two rows, all our close family and friends. Everyone just kind of was like, we can't believe we're here. And it's so sad, but cathartic. And everyone was just like, whatever. So I started off by saying, like, I'm going to cry because that's what we're here to do. And we had a meeting with the priest beforehand who told me crying is just a form of expression of love for a person that isn't there anymore. It's not a bad thing. It's actually a great thing. You have that well of feeling because it's a person you love that much. And so at the beginning of the eulogy, I said, Father Gary told me that, and I quoted him, and I said, so I'm going to cry this whole time, and there's nothing you can do about it, because the priest said I could, like all bratty and babyish. And then I think everyone else felt okay to like let loose and kind of emote a little bit. And then so then I just talked about the good things, but then at the end I was like, if my mom was here, I know the one thing that she would want me to tell you all was that she hated Ronald Reagan. And then the entire church like exploded, because my mother hated Ronald Reagan so much, talked about it every night at dinner, was like so anti him. And I told my cousin Stevie before, I was like, I'm going to make a political joke three quarters of the way through this thing. If you don't laugh, even if you don't think it's funny, you have to laugh out loud, because you save me, because people might not laugh at this. But of course, everyone loved it because they knew my mom, and she told everybody that she hated Ronald Reagan, not just us.
Oh, that's funny. She has that in common with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
My mom really disliked him and talked about him a lot.
Wait, your mom was a nurse too, right?
She was sewer billing. I think when you use the toilet, this has to be hooked up to utilities. They need to monitor the amount of water you're using.
Yeah.
There was one lady we called the witch lady. She was real smart to where she defecated into a bucket, I don't know, and then put it in her fireplace and burned it. And she's the only one that had a loophole around my mom sending her bills. And she'd come on her bike dressed in all black.
What?
And, yeah, there's rumors that if you made it into her yard, which was her whole house was covered with spray paint, like graffiti, that she did to her own house.
Okay.
So she was scary.
A little bit.
There were stories about, someone opening the gate and get their hand getting hit with a hammer. That was everyone had that story. Would everyone tell that story if someone's hand hadn't been hit? Anyway, my mom sent people their sewer bills. She worked at Sears for a while.
For some reason, I guess it's just me being narcissistic and thinking that your life is my life. I was positive she was a nurse of some kind.
It's real. Well, they're similar. She was interested. She was on WebMD a lot. No, she went, the internet happened after. But yeah, she had this job for 25 years, showed up one day, didn't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely couldn't do it. And they said, well, we might have to let you go. And she got pissed and quit.
Sure.
That's what you get.
That's
after
the
you
solution.
Work for a government agency for a long time, it's real good to get angry and quit and forfeit
your
any monies that might help with the expenses. But yeah, I'm jealous. People freak out when we say this, but I'm jealous. Or I'm excited to kill it at my mom's funeral too. But my sister went there on Mother's Day and sent me pictures, and she looks physically, it looks like she's been running and going to a spa. Her skin, she looks great.
Really?
Yeah.
Is she I really thought that sentence was going to end differently.
No, she. I don't. They're like, I don't know if they just have her on a very healthy diet. She looks great, but can't, you know.
Yeah, isn't there?
Yeah, at all.
Well, that's nice that my mom really looked like a mummy at the end. I mean, it was super weird. One of her front teeth was
rocked. My mom's teeth. Yeah, it's kind of like a when boxers have that mouthpiece. It's, yeah. If they went for a light. Marbled yellow. Okay, that's disgusting.
It's a lot.
Why do I always get medical?
It's your passion.
It really is. I love the word phalanges, sternum. You think I'll call it sternum? I know it's a xiphoid process. And to think that I got Fs in all biology classes, very important if you want a future in medicine.
Did you try for a future in medicine?
No, I didn't. Oh. It's after the fact, I thought maybe it could have. But I think I like art and stuff too much.
Yeah. I don't think it would have been your...
I like going to a doctor and telling them what I think I might have, though. They love that, too.
Yeah. Sure.
I have the nerve thing. It seems like it's migrating. Okay. And pull out the book. This is my dad's story. But let's see. Migrating nerve thing. Nope. It's not showing up. Said that to my dad. Mocked him. Yeah. But...
It's migrating to my brain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Every winter.
I have a friend that did that where she does have something, and she looked up something on the internet. And then when I called her, she was freaking out. I'm like, you absolutely cannot look at the internet when you are about to do something medical or be involved in any medical issue.
Mm.
The only people, no one goes back after a surgery and goes, that was great. Everything worked out fine. No one does it. They pick up where their life was before and they go. The people online are the ones who something happened to and or, but probably mostly are crazy.
Yeah.
And so they're like, they left a hole, you know, a peach inside of me or whatever, you know, shit like that, where you're just like, could that happen to me? And it's like, this could be an 11-year-old boy who someone stopped watching for a half an hour who's on WebMD.
Can I just laugh for a minute about a doctor eating a peach, dropping it and saying, fuck it.
And being like, guys, I got a golf game at 2.
Yeah.
Let's sew this lady up.
Really? Oh, no wonder these other doctors are dressed in plaid. Yeah, these are just my boys.
They're just waiting.
Yeah, we're about to hit the links.
Look, this is all organic. It'll break down. Leave it.
Yeah, people only report bad news or comment on a YouTube video bad. No one says, good job. This was perfect.
Yeah.
Just want you to know I liked it and wouldn't say do anything differently. No one's ever left.
Every moment of that was as it should have been.
And it goes without saying, so I'm, of course, saying it. On the way here, Waze took me through. I think about, I've been watching, and of course you do too, murder things and Forensic Files. And I think I went by the Grim, what's the thing?
Grim Sleeper.
I think I went through that neighborhood. I feel like I went past Lonnie's house. There was like I think that's the house that used to be green.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because you saw that documentary.
Yeah, I saw it twice. Yeah. Yeah, made people watch it.
Yes.
But I think I went by his house.
I'll
talk to you after. You can tell me exactly where it was.
Okay.
But we drove through there once and you told me about that.
Well, and because I like that part of town, I really love it because it's like, yeah, it's not obviously the nicest part of LA. Few places are. But all of those, like, everything is tended so nicely. Everyone has their yard really nice.
Everyone's proud of their shit.
Yeah, they're like, we are going to make our own good community. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I love that part of it, where it's like, you drive through, you don't go, oh, a serial killer lives here. It doesn't look like that to me.
No, it doesn't at all. That's what makes it all the more eerie.
Yes. It just looks like the suburbs. You could be anywhere. You could be in, like, Millbrae. You could be, like, all the towns around my town.
Why don't people talk about that documentary as much as that Jinx one? I thought it was better. It was much more tragic. And interviewing all those women that were like, I didn't want this life. These nice ladies that were prostitutes that almost got killed by him.
You're supposed to say sex worker.
Sex workers.
A new thing. We haven't grown up. We're in a thing where you know you're supposed to say sex worker. But I'm saying it because I've been
corrected.
I'm just
trying to get used to this Eskimo stuff. Inuit sounds dirty.
You look, we're learning baby steps, well, one thing at a time. It's just important to be willing.
Okay.
That's all.
I guess things are changing.
But here's why I think it's different, because The Jinx was a series, and the Nick Broomfield documentary was a one-off.
Yeah.
So if you didn't see it the time it was on or hear about it that one time, as opposed to the long, slow build of, like, word of mouth. But I think a lot of people, the people who have seen it, everybody talks about how amazing it was.
Yeah.
That woman, Pam, that was in it, that guides him around.
She was the best.
I love her so much.
Talk about no nonsense.
She was fucking
real. She said a lot of nonsense. She was hilarious.
She was the best.
She was the best.
But it's also that thing of, like, I remember when I first heard about the Grim Sleeper, and the way they report on it is, you know, he killed mostly sex workers. They say prostitutes in the newspaper.
Yeah. Or NLHs, not legitimate humans.
No.
That is a phrase they use. When I first moved here.
Who, the police?
Yes.
Ugh.
When I first moved here, I was driving with Michelle Balloon and Henry Phillips, and we were going down Santa Monica Boulevard, and for the first time I saw this big man punching this tiny woman in the face.
You told me this.
Right, right. And then he went to show me his gun, but it was funny. He looked down and he's like, oh, I don't have my gun. So he just showed me his belly button. And I pretended to be on my flip phone, it was a while ago, and followed them into this building, and the security guard held the door shut, wouldn't let me in. I'm like, that guy was just punching that woman in the face, and he was like, get out of here. And it was a whole building that is now fancy apartments. But so I called the cop, and he came, and he said, I'm tired of getting these calls. That was a prostitute. That was her pimp. She owed him money. She's not a legitimate human. And I was like, what did you say? Not a legitimate human? I think it's a phrase. If anyone, well, no one's going to tell us whether or not. But they use that phrase in that documentary. I think NLH, or not legitimate human, is what they call a. So don't get mad at me when I call them prostitutes.
I'll do what I
want.
Some
of these sex workers,
I'm fucking livid,
are called not legitimate humans.
Well, I mean, this is what we're talking about. It's like you sit there and go, how could a man kill women for almost 30 years and get away with it? This is how. Because our society has the fucking balls to go, this is not a legitimate human being. How dare you? How fucking dare you? And these are people that are just trying to stay alive, keep their family alive, make money however they can. And suddenly that's the reason that you get to murder them for free? I don't think so. I don't think so.
Free. At one point.
Free and easy.
Wasn't it like at some point in the 80s, they went to his house and accidentally knocked on the neighbor's door? And they're like, well, he's not home. Case closed.
Yeah.
They almost got him. Anyway. That I think about that documentary a lot, and then I drove right through it. I also have been thinking about, has April made you see the Sing Street?
Yes, she did.
Did you? I mean, I loved it. I thought the ending kind of bailed a little. It's like, really, they're like, but
endings are the hardest, as we know.
But these kids getting together, writing songs, and growing up with 80s new wave music, man.
So awesome.
See that? I'm plugging something that isn't mine, and it's the movie Sing Street. Go see it.
So good.
It's so good.
So good,
and it's like crying.
Of course. Mm-hmm. I was too. And Irish, which is, my favorite.
Yeah, yeah.
The funniest. And do you know, I actually tweeted this once, but I tweeted Hi Boyfriend, because that little kid that was basically the manager that filmed all the videos and stuff, the redhead.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That had that little face and the braces, where he was, it was my favorite because he was always trying to pull his lips off his braces. Like when you have really big braces and maybe a smaller mouth, like when they'd be walking, he would just like be moving his lips around. So this, you know what I mean? Did you notice that?
Oh,
it was
yeah.
my favorite. Like,
and I had
braces.
I knew what that was like.
Did you have to do that?
They did an experimental braces on me that were made of white porcelain. Probably not real porcelain, more likely just white plastic. And the first thing I think I ate with them is a Lipton cup of soup, which then stained them highlighter yellow for the 2 years I had them. Just yellow, middle of high school, just realizing how much I like girls and why not. Just kind of looked like the thing, my mom's thing. It just looked like I put in a boxer's guard made of marbled yellow candies.
Did the little onions stay on? There were green onion flecks as well for your Lipton cups. Keep the whole look?
I just smile, and it just looked like delicious French onion dip. Just made you want to jam a Lay's right into my teeth. great. Perfect timing, too.
Have you ever talked about that on stage?
No.
Please pull your notebook out wherever you keep it and just put down Braces Lipton Soup, please.
And I talk like this. I sometimes do when I get excited, right? You can't hear it, but a tongue thrust into my back of my teeth. They then added, to curb that, a cage.
Oh, right.
On the side of buildings, you know, all of those little spikes, and birds still fucking land on it.
Yeah.
Well, I still was thrusting my tongue into a sharp cage that was in the roof of my mouth. That
what?
Was just a brief period.
Like, they thought they were going to cure your lateral lisp by putting spikes inside your braces?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
And then they had me sucking on a button on a string. Very dangerous. If the string broke. This was the theory. If I make my lips strong, I think it was also they're just like, you need to learn mouth control, so pay attention to a thing that we're going to make you do.
Okay.
So while you're watching TV or whatever, just take a button with some string, have your mom put some string on it, put it behind your lips and pull on it, and then tighten your lips so one day your lips are so tight they will push your teeth back. So what if I had these sissy Spacek lips, just tight ass lips?
You look like Todd Glass doing a character.
Oh yeah, when he talks about how his dad would smoke and it looked
yes,
painful.
Yes.
Yeah.
How is that going to help anything that's going on inside your mouth?
The fact that they wanted my lips to be a way tighten your lips. You need to get your lips strong to push these teeth back. Okay, I'm going back in the street by a dumpster because I am not an orthodontist, but I listen to him. Oh, Sayer, Dr. Sayer.
Dr. Sayer wanted you to suck on a button attached to a string.
But and learn how to say my S's, and you know what? It worked. And guess what?
What?
Today I'm a professional speaker.
You are a sound recording artist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With, you know, credentials.
Yes.
Yeah. And sometimes.
Did you bring those credentials today? Could I see those? That'd be great.
I wish I had paper like Phil Hendry. Here we go. Here's the paper. God, just clearly headphones. Damn it.
Damn it.
Oh, here we go.
There it is. Your
page
plastic
two.
Papers.
Let's do it. Oh, I'll have to stop here. Here's a low-flying helicopter. Oh, they landed. Not near the dog.
A dog.
Guys.
Oh, that's that poodle.
That was my plan to just, I was going to do Foley work of card noises. Maybe we can add it later. Honk, honk. Whoa, what was that guy? That was a reaction.
Hey, you asshole. The stuff we used to do when we were actually driving.
See, I'm very excited about, I think that we're already just popping. I mean.
Hell
I'm,
yeah.
I'm not feeling great right now. Let's be honest. I'm on a lot of DayQuil, so my brain is not totally working. And that's been clear. I think you guys have been like, where's Chris?
I feel like you've been sharp as a tack.
Where's Chris? Well, thank you. You might call it fishing because that's what I was doing. I can't even remember what I was going to.
That you like the studio feel.
This works. I think we're going to be, you know, it's not saying we aren't going to, once the car's fixed.
Here's the thing. Nobody gave two shits about whether or not it was in the car. It was like with the magic that happened because we were in a car. And basically what we're saying is we can make that magic happen anywhere, bro.
Yeah, we just got to think of a new gimmick.
What if we both suck on buttons during the recording of this podcast?
Yeah, it's called lip therapy. We'll call it lip therapy.
We'll be sponsored by the lip balm lip therapy, which I'm positive there is one.
And then we will play a lip service by Elvis Costello
Good
as our
idea.
Theme.
Is that the one that goes, "This is girl"?
And then all of a sudden the N-word for no reason.
Why?
Hey, I love the guy, but man, come on, lay off the old N-word, buddy.
Elvis Costello?
A couple times.
No.
One less bad news.
Really?
Yeah, he says it.
Is that why he sings like that? So you can't tell how racist he is?
Bad news. And slow it down, and it's like, we all must bring down the cleansing rain. Whoa. Man, that's different when...
Oh, my God.
Don't ever slow down your Costello.
Veronica is white.
Veronica, you must learn to be a legal immigrant. That one's not that bad. It's not really something you learn, though.
No, it's not a learned thing. It's more of a, and so that's a natural.
All of the zombies, and then slow down, build a wall under budget using Mexican folks. Oh, I think it, I could have done a better job with that whole riff.
I feel like Oliver's arm. No, I think it was good. I think it was. We were feeling our way through it. I think mm-hmm. there's a real people.
Welcome to the idea workshop.
If only you could see how I'm moving my hands around on the table as if an idea is coming out of my mouth.
It's tactile. You're brain tinkering.
This is. It looks like I'm playing one big game of Battleship. Look, this is here, and this idea is here, and together they're funny. They make a funny war. Oh no!
I thought it was like a Ouija board. Did you ever play with them?
Yeah, we played
Kids
with one once.
To. Shit scares me.
It was scary, and then I had a friend, Julie Adams, I believe. No, Julie Taylor. I can't remember.
Wednesday Adams.
No, that's what it is. a girl in my high school told this story once at a party that freaked me out so bad. She said her and her cousins played with a Ouija board in the attic trying to call up the devil, and they did. And she had all these details, and it was like, this went black, and this went da-da, and it freaked her out for the rest of her life.
Yeah, I've heard too many stories, and I've never experienced anything like that. Or if I do, if a ghost thing happens, I just kind of ignore it, and then they're like, all right, we tried. Like, I don't want to delve into it.
No, because that could be, there could be something on the other side, and once you delve in, you're in.
Yeah,
Horrible.
I don't not believe in anything.
I mean, we've all seen horror movies. All it takes is one... you know, push of the Ouija board, and you're running from an invisible specter for the rest of your natural born days.
As much as I complain about my hip or, you know, my fear of stuff happening with my brain, imagine how much complaining I would do if there was a spirit possessing me. I'd be like, oh, that's sorry about what I said last night. Yeah, I'm possessed. Oh, here we go again. Ooh, talk more about your sugar diet.
Hey, wait, was that about me at the end?
No, I never do that. Gotcha.
Another gotcha. We could retitle the podcast Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a series of what seem to be friendly conversations. Mm-hmm. And then zing.
I think that's a good...
I just nailed you.
But there's a movie with the... There's a movie called Gotcha about paintball, so...
Oh.
Yeah.
Yep. Could we get the stars of it? And interview them?
The star of it was the tall Anthony Edwards, the tall guy from ER.
Yes, I love him. Classic. Yeah. Also, star of Zodiac.
Handsome guy, despite a weak chin. You know, sometimes I say things that are mean and bully-like, and that was an example. And I'd like to, if you're out there and you're self-conscious about your chin not being strong, I'm sorry.
Oh, if they're out there and they have a weak chin, they've already grown a long, long beard. That's everyone's doing these days.
Oh my God, April and I went to the Renaissance Fair. Have you ever been to that? And we became the jockiest bullies.
She was telling me how much she
hated
everybody.
She really was. She's like, these are the people I can rip on.
Okay, we went there, and I'm not kidding you. These were all the people.
Dude!
Yo, this was nuts.
It was really fun. I shot arrows. That was fun.
That's fun.
And then you look around, and it's just kind of... Mountain Dew folks, you know, with corsets, and they're having a great time, and they're into it.
Yes.
And they're there with their families, and there's meats on sticks. I jumped on a trampoline. You know how in the Renaissance,
they had trampolining.
Trampolining was popular. Harnesses, flips for fun. Mm-hmm. Multicolored Cat in the Hat type hats. very popular in the Renaissance.
Yeah.
Dressing just for no reason, like Spider-Man, that was also popular, apparently, in the Renaissance. There was a lot of people that were like, you know what, this is also kind of cosplay. And I'm like, I was making fun of it, but by the end, I was like, that guy is not dressed, period. It was very fun.
That sounds really fun. You know what it is? Went to a similar thing once at a state fair. My friend's band was playing when I was working in Chicago. I went up to Wisconsin to go to this thing. And I was standing in the middle of this crowd, and all these people were like having the best time. And I was just standing there. Oh, I almost felt like I was in a bubble, just standing there watching everybody and judging them and making jokes in my head. And so afterwards, I told my friend, I'm like, why do I do that? Like, why can't I just be a part of things? And she goes, because you're a writer, you have to hold yourself away so you can observe everything.
Right.
And so it's like, I'm jealous of people that get to just throw themselves into things entirely and become fans because there's a thing in me that will not allow me to do that. Will not.
Yeah, I wish I was dumb enough to be present. You know, you just see people soaking it up.
Just enjoying themselves, not thinking about what other people think.
Not thinking about what's happened in the past or what's going to happen in the next few minutes. You just sit there with their giant turkey leg and not even wipe their face.
And going, look, I get to wear a corset in public, a thing no one would allow me to do on any other day.
Yeah, that's freedom.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Tits out, everybody.
There's a couple nip slips there that where I was like, should I tell? Nah, let them have their fun.
It was accurate to the period.
Yeah. There was I'm not
careful.
A prude.
Sex worker.
But there was like mothers and daughters where the daughter would be like early teens, mid-teens, with her boobs pushed out.
Mm-hmm. It's very common these days.
I mean, come on. Let's bring back family.
Uh-huh.
I'm just kidding.
The Bible?
Sorry, I just slowed down, Stella. Sorry.
You know what is interesting? It just made me think of this. There was a period of time, I don't know where it was, somewhere near the Renaissance. I'm not a history major.
The Byzantine?
Perhaps the Byzantine era, where this style for women was that your nipples did show.
And nothing else? Like, what if you were, like, in a full one-piece with a hood and only your nipples?
No.
No, that's a scene from Clockwork Orange. Horrible scene. Why'd I watch that as a kid?
Yeah, why did I?
So it would just be, like, give you a little nip? Like,
yeah, well, basically it was like this, you know, like a boat neck goes down to an inch above your neck. It just included the kind of like the top half of your nipple.
And everyone's like, I'm going to show my nipples.
Let's
we were so
thing.
Progressive back then.
I know.
Granted, there was slavery and all kinds of terrible things, but.
But at least the rich got to show their nipples sometimes.
Yeah, come on. And now all the rich are trying to cover the nip.
Fucking Koch brothers.
I blame the Koch brothers.
Is it the Koch brothers?
I think it's Koch brothers, yeah. Are they? It's Koch. That's just Koch.
It's Koch, the ones that make those nice purses.
Oh,
but they're mean brothers.
Yeah.
Making purses, keeping all their money to themselves. Bullshit.
Yeah, that's why I always go Kate Spade. Don't look at the clunk. We are.
No, I just want to see.
No, it is. I'm looking right at it. I don't like it. It's like when I've been swimming and I don't like that I keep looking at the clock. It's like, oh my God, I looked 3 minutes ago.
Wait, you mean like you go down to a swimming pool?
Yeah, it's my new thing.
For the old hip?
For my old crackety hip.
Is it working?
It feels great, yeah. I just go. I really didn't know how to swim. So I showed up. I'm like, I need a kickboard. In the past, I've tried to take a kickboard, lay in the water, and just kick. And I just, my legs sink, and I kind of rotate toward the side and bump into that rope. Like, bam, bam.
Like a little wind-up toy.
Yeah, like a little wind-up toy. And so I shoved a kickboard in my shorts, and I just went there, and I got good at kicking. And I'm pretty good at kicking now, so I've just started involving the actual swimming without the kickboard. Like, I didn't know how to swim, but I think I've taught myself.
That's amazing.
I've been going a lot, though, or every other day. I haven't gone for 3 days, but it feels great.
Yeah, that's very good for you.
Everything's all loose.
Yeah.
And there's an element of, because I do it on my back usually, it's this, I have no form of meditation that I've ever used. I know I should. I should meditate. I should be in therapy. I probably should be on some drugs to help you align your thoughts.
Maybe.
But I can't remember what I was talking about. Oh, I am. Just kidding. That's a little bait and switch.
That was what I call a zippity zoo.
Yeah. There's a deprivation element to being submerged that is calming, and I don't think about anything.
Yes.
I'm like a dumb guy with pudding all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I feel great.
That's great. So good.
Just lay there. Actually, time does fly by.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm into it.
That's
swimming.
Very cool.
So I'm plugging swimming in the movie Sing Street. Oh, and I made some t-shirts.
Sponsored by swimming.
Sponsored by the Koch brothers.
My dad has the same hip thing as you. He's had his replaced twice.
Oh, boy.
Because the first ones fall apart in your body or whatever.
Right.
This happens. So, but the last time he had it, he had arthritis in the thing and the nerve. It was a whole thing.
Could your body not, if you put a titanium thing and shove it into your sawed-off bone,
yeah,
how would your body not go, poo-poo-y?
Yeah.
Get it the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Of course that would happen, yeah.
So he was having, that was the arthritis thing was in his back, so we had to get those things cleared out. And so he was walking really badly, and it was kind of unnerving for a while, because my dad is very, he's a big jogger in the 70s, mm-hmm. and he's all fit and whatever.
And now he had a side wiggle shuffle thing?
Yes, yeah, and he had the surgery, and then he was using a cane for a long time, and my sister and I were like, is this the beginning of the cane era?
Yeah.
Well, he started going to this gym in Petaluma and swimming, and then he goes, I signed up for a trainer. I don't know. I'll see if they can help me. Mm-hmm. Well, now he feels great. He's the cane. He's not using the cane anymore.
Oh, wow.
She's telling him the specific things to do, and I was like, he goes, she gave me 3 free ones. I think I might get 2 more. I was like, how about you get 15 more? Mm-hmm. That's money well spent. Walk after.
So what is happening for him, and what I hope is possible for me, is his body is the physiology of the joint, even though it's worn and it's bone on bone, or no, he has metal in there. But I'm bone on bone.
Yeah.
They said you don't necessarily have to get it replaced. Maybe if my body realigns and stuff naturally goes in there and becomes padding.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm getting very technical. But welcome back to medical lack of knowledge. But yeah, it's definitely feels better, but I don't think I'm going to undo what this guy does initially before the permanent replacement. Is literally he patented some metal helmet thing. It looks like a little motorcycle helmet.
To guard the bone?
It just goes on top like a cap.
Yeah.
So I might do that.
Well, that could be good.
Just get it thrown in.
But it is like you're giving your body a chance to adjust itself, which it can do. And you're getting that dopamine shot of, if that's what it is, or serotonin, whatever it is, when you exercise, mm-hmm. and you get that thing where, at least you feel better.
Yeah, yeah.
While you're, because when you have pain, it just fucking sucks
all
the time.
And I need to exercise. I'm starting to get jiggly in the back, and I've never been that way, and I'm like, it makes me, I don't have a thing that I can do. I can't run, I can't. He's like, well, you have to quit doing everything and only swim. It's like, ooh, so I'm glad that I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
The end.
It's good. I like it. Now you have to go and join the old lady water aerobics classes.
Oh, my God. I went to therapy, and it was at the Elizabeth Taylor Aquatic
Mm-mm.
Club.
Mm-mm.
Just pictures of Elizabeth Taylor, huge on
what?
The walls, swimming.
I have to go there.
Apparently, she swam, and I did. My therapy was basically sit and be fit with a bunch of older ladies, and it was just, okay, hold your leg out. Just rotate. I'm like, okay, this isn't worth my $100 per visit.
It wasn't?
You need
a little more.
Yeah, I need the CrossFit version. I want them to be playing Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, you got to go extreme. I wanted you to say that the therapy was that you got in the pool with a bunch of old ladies and you guys reenacted scenes from Butterfield 8 or some classic Liz Taylor filmic epics. You guys were like,
I wish I could jump in with an example of a Liz Taylor.
Who's afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Oh, yeah. Or what if we all just got together in a semicircle and kind of reenacted scenes from, I don't know, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Oh, my God.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
We just got together and complained about Richard Burton and his drinking.
Seriously.
Oh, come on.
Should I divorce him or remarrying him again? Am I right, Liz Taylor? I loved her so much. I have a painting of Liz Taylor that somebody made at some point in time. That's one of the greatest things of all time.
You have it?
I have it. It's it wasn't in a fancy frame or anything, but it's basically a very, very good portrait. It's not a beautiful. It's not great or beautiful.
Yeah.
It's something you would find in a thrift store in Burbank.
It's a, you would do it and someone would come up and go, oh, that's very good.
That's very, I know who that is. you just know who it is. And it's my favorite. Her hair is humongous. And she's got that Liz, like, she's kind of like, like looking over her shoulder. But then it's like, what happened to her chin? But you don't ask that question because you're just happy to have the painting.
She has kind of an Anthony Edwards from Gotcha chin. See, that's what I'm real good at, just bringing it back.
It's called a bringer back. And you know how to do it.
Oh, man. I didn't know that Segway was spelled Seg, like G-U-E.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't, I was real embarrassing the other day. I was on the show we were at. I had to read it and I kept saying Seg and they were laughing like, good joke. And I'm like, what? It says Seg. I thought it was Segway had the word way in it.
Sure.
You know.
Right.
I've been on this earth a while. There's just some stuff I haven't picked up.
Doesn't that drive you
crazy? You don't have to laugh at me.
Well, they felt bad about
sound
themselves.
Sound guy?
Look, sound guys are the ones that laugh the hardest because they're the saddest.
I guess.
Aaron, am I right?
100%.
He knows. He knows the pain. Sitting there having to listen all day and not be able to give your 2 cents.
Yeah, not really listening because you're looking for things you have to edit out.
Yes.
Like this lull right here. You're going to have to cut that shit out.
And the, or one of these.
Oh, gross. No one wants to hear that later. Snip, snip.
Snip, snap. Goodbye.
Editing room floor. We'll take care of that in the tape room by the steam bay.
Yes. Come
it's
on down.
Old form of editing. Reel to reel, you clip it, literally put tape on it. The steam bay.
Did you see...
Go to film school? No, but I had a girlfriend who did.
Did you see the movie Hail Caesar?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was
that
great.
Fucking part with Frances McDormand where she's the editor? I think that was based on a real female editor.
Yeah,
from
she...
From back that time.
I hope so. She was the... Why weren't people screaming about that movie?
It was because everybody thought it was going to be this epic thing, like...
Comedy, like...
That everyone projected onto it, and it was also... what do you call it? The commercials sold it as something that it wasn't. And
yeah,
made it look
like
Jonah Hill was one of the co-stars. He was in it for 5 minutes.
Right.
But it was a tiny movie about the business of show business, which is, of course, all of our favorites. But I think the average person that doesn't give a shit goes in and is like, how come I have to watch this?
Yeah, it's pretty specific.
Yeah. Maybe. You have to have that interest of like, what is it really like at a studio? But if you're like, how about you just give me a really good movie or like a really movie?
Yeah, yeah.
I guess it would be.
With fight scenes. And out of fights. Hey, are we at that? Where are we? Are we at Sony? Where was that?
This is Raleigh Studios.
Ah, Raleigh. But we're near Sony.
No, Sony's out by you. We're right by Paramount.
Culver City.
We're right by the most famous gates of a studio, Paramount.
And I call myself an showbiz business person.
And
I call myself a show burglar. I don't even know what studio I'm not near.
Can I tell you, you are a show burglar because we did a show.
Because I'm always stealing the show?
Yes. The other night when we did Largo. Yeah, let me just say the fucking thing.
Sorry.
when we did Largo the other night, we did Sarah Silverman and Friends. It was a great show, really good lineup. I had to follow Chris, which I don't know. I think I said, when Flanagan asked me when I wanted to go, I said after you because I knew that you would, no matter what happened before you, you would kill and the audience would be hot when I got on stage.
Oh, thanks.
Not thinking about the fact that I would then have to follow you. In terms of you just suffer by comparison and content because your set was so great.
Well, no, I don't. I did my bit. I liked it. I had fun. It was fun.
You
Thank
did
you.
Your
I really
piece.
Appreciate
it. No, but it was great. I really love watching your stand-up. I know that you have a lot of heartache around it sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's for the person in the audience, there's none. It's
well,
great.
It's funny. I don't enjoy things sometimes.
Yeah.
When it was done, I was like, okay, that went well. That's how it should always go. But it's... And then I just went home and then looked at the Largo Instagram and I was the only one that didn't get a picture on it. And
I
it
didn't
ruined
get a
my
picture?
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
It's on there. I saw it.
Oh, I didn't see it. Oh, yeah. I don't want to see it. Jesus.
I didn't. That's fine. I had a great time.
Do you know why?
Confidence.
If you win... if you win... the comedy contest of the night, you don't get your picture, that's the reward.
Oh, that's what they do there specifically?
That's why I tried so hard, because I was like, please don't put my picture in there. I'll do my best.
Oh, I didn't know that it was like an opposite. That's great. Well, I didn't know I did so well. Sorry, you lost.
Opposite rewards. Also, here's the other thing, and I'm so... It's just my favorite thing. So Sarah, it's a known fact. I'm not gossiping or anything. Sarah Silverman dates the British actor Michael Sheen.
Yeah, yeah.
You've seen him in Frost Nixon. You have seen him in The Queen.
Masters of Sex.
Masters of Sex is his series on Showtime.
Showtime.
One of the most charming, normal, chilled out dudes sat in the dressing room, talked to April about Manchester for fucking ever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, just hung out with all of us in a way where I, because I am truly a fan and a little bit starstruck by him, I kept turning around to see, like, when is he going to leave? Because why is he just sitting in here talking to us? But he, like, genuinely, like, likes Sarah's friends and likes comedy and likes comedians and, like, wants to hang out.
And he sat on the side of the stage and laughed at the whole show.
He did.
Yeah.
Everything. Watched the whole show. Right in the back curtains.
That's great.
I just find that touching sometimes. And like, how disappointing are most celebrities when you meet them?
Yeah.
Where they're like, you're welcome.
Well, there's something about him too. He's just an attractive man. You know, I'm straight. You know me as straight. But every once in a while, I am sexually attracted to men.
Sure.
You know, it's just, I'm just kidding. Well, I understand his.
It's too late. You said it.
I want to kiss him. Damn it! This Elvis Costello record's broken again.
He's a magnetic person.
He's a magnetic man.
And he also seems like a royal. So you're kind of like, I just want to stay in this room. I have nothing to say.
Yeah.
But I just kind of want to be nearby and pretend that we're best friends. He just is like exciting.
Yeah.
100%.
Seems like a nice guy.
I liked him. I just wanted to brag out because I think, like, I don't know, I'm in it for the celebrities as much as anything else here in LA.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, then you'll meet one every once in a while and you're just like, I wish you would move away. I don't like you or anything that you're like.
I've distanced myself from it, not on purpose, but living at the old beach. I don't see a lot of celebs.
Yeah?
Just guys flying kites from a bike, wearing a Speedo, with a little bit of shit on them. See a lot of that.
Oh, that's Gary Busey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel so dumb for calling him Nick Nolte. A lot of people used to confuse them. I bet a whole party once. I think it was after I ate a spider on a chip once. It doesn't matter.
A drug?
I got 50 bucks.
Oh.
But I bet these guys.
Was the spider alive?
I used to try and gamble at parties. He was still moving, yeah.
Ugh.
Sorry. There was salsa and it was on a chip. I put a spider on there. I ate it. I swallowed it. I was
and
fine.
You got 50 bucks.
50 bucks. I think I still have no regrets about that. Would I do it again? Of course not.
It's your life. And also, you're eating them in your sleep anyway.
Yeah.
Might as well do it consciously.
We all know that we all ingest and chew 7 to 8 spiders per night.
Yeah.
When you wake up and there's that feeling of like your sweater, like, I need some water.
My mouth.
That's just spider guts.
That's spider guts and legs all stuck in your teeth.
Don't get me started about the ones that went in your ears. No. But I was at a party and everyone there was like, yeah, Nick Nolte was so good in Big Wednesday, this surf movie that had Gary Busey when he was like a cognitive brain functioning man. And I was like, That's not Nick Nolte. And they all went against me. And I bet them money. And they paid up.
How much?
I don't remember.
But over 20?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Maybe. I'd like to think so. I was such a hustler.
It's your lie. You can kind of make it anything you want.
Yeah, I was a kid. And I'd get on my bike, I'd go, and I'd invest it. And that's why today I'm a very wealthy man.
Is that true?
You know. No, I'm not very rich. No, I'm doing okay.
No.
But I'm doing okay.
Good, good.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good. That's real good.
Well, where's our guest?
Oh, Michael Sheen. He's gonna be here in about 32 minutes.
Gonna be pretty awkward, but said I was attracted to him.
Yeah. No, he's actually here to confront you about that.
Oh, great.
It's kind of like intervention, but it's like getting in your face and being like, what do you buy or something?
Yeah.
That with a British accent.
I think that's like a scared straight camp. That's what doing archery at the Renaissance. I was good at it for some reason, and then it brought back memories. I've shut out most of them because it was a horrific time where they just said, "Your parents are going to hell, and it's your job to get them to believe in God." And they picked me up, and I was just sobbing. It was very
Your Christian camp.
Yeah. But they had us shooting bows and arrows, and that's I'm like, I've done this. I know how to do this.
Yes.
And I just went, and man, talk about hitting some red circles.
Dude, we did archery at my camp as well. And one of my greatest early memories was this one year I liked a boy, John something, and we were doing archery, and he came up and he was talking to the girl at the hay bale thing next to me, whatever. And I was like, well, I should do my best to try to impress this guy. Here's my thinking as like a 12-year-old. Being good at archery would make a guy attracted to a girl. It's so tragic. I fucking lined it up. Bullseye. And he goes, whoa, Karen. And then I like dropped my thing and walked away. Another mistake when you're trying to like, if you like somebody, just you fucking constantly like mic drop and walk. Where it's like, no, you're supposed to stay there and talk to them.
Yeah, it doesn't work with kids. I guess she doesn't like me. She walked away. Yep. Every kid thinks the other kid doesn't like them.
I know.
So if you're like playing hard to get, it's like, I guess she doesn't like
me. Oh, well, there's 19 other girls over here. And meanwhile, I walked away to 4 feet away and then just kind of stood there like, no, I don't know where to go.
With your nose against a tree. I guess this is the end of the road.
I guess I'll stay here for the rest of the week.
Did I tell you about how at Big Sky Bible Camp they thought I was experiencing stigmata? I was waiting for a boat. A little boy punched me in the stomach because his name was Ian. And at the fire, he said, "I accepted Jesus in my heart in the back of a cop car." And it's like, oh, I've like made a noise. And he looked at me. And then, so he didn't like me because of that. I made fun of his tough guy.
How old?
I have 11.
Okay.
10 or 11.
That's a good age.
And he was like 12.
I need to see a picture of you when you're 11.
My hair. I have a picture of this that it was days later, so I'll show you a picture.
Okay.
Yeah, we went camping and I couldn't stop crying. I thought I was going to hell. It was awful. I hated it. But anyway, I was waiting for a canoe on this dock, and they lined the dock with like sheet metal so boats could bang against it, I guess. And this kid pushed me off the dock, and the edge of the thing scraped my nipples to where today there's still scar tissue. I have puffy nips. I have to, like, before I go swimming, I pinch them because they're just big. Because they got ripped off. I could see them on the edge, my nipples.
No.
And so I went like that. I was covering the blood coming off my nipples, and some idiot counselor was like, I had to go talk to the priest and explain that I had simply scraped my nipples and it wasn't this thing that they were telling me about, which I'd never heard of.
Stigmata.
Never,
it's the mark of Christ.
They were like, it's very important that you recognize the meaning of, and it's like, no, I cut my nips and I covered, but I had to have a meeting with him, and it was so creepy. He had this.
You bent over a chair.
He did. He put just different. He's like, "Do you know what this is?" And I'm like, "I don't know." And he's like, "It's going up your ass." And he did that with 7 or 8 items.
Oh no! Why didn't you just say you knew what it was?
I know. I should have just said pencil sharpener, matchbox car, an old eraser. Just say what they were. All
your
the things.
Your penis.
That's your dick, sir. No, but he had this daughter that I didn't think he was genuine because he would bring his daughter everywhere. She was in a wheelchair and she had maybe, I don't know what was wrong with her, but she had a hard life and she was wheelchair bound. I remember he'd like, whenever he talked to us, he'd had her next door and she'd just kind of be rolling away and he's like, oh yeah. I could just tell he didn't really care about her, but he was parading her around as a example of how gracious he was.
Yes.
He always had to have his daughter next to him. So when I had to go have my meeting about my nips, she was just staring at me. Oh, it was just, it's all coming back to me now. I've never really talked about this, but.
It sounds like a David Lynch movie.
It was horrifying, and it was a scary office. And at night, when all the kids were sleeping and their noses were whistling, I thought it was kids screaming in the lake. I thought people were drowning. It was like I thought I was getting possessed. So my dad picked me up, and we were leaving the Bible camp, and I was like crying, and I'm like, "You're going to hell!" And at night, the children were drowning, and I had my nipples got scraped off the stigmata, and so I'm gonna. And my dad just turned around, and I watched him from the car go up to this head pastor guy and just poking him in the chest, yelling at him, pointing at me. And the guy's like, "I'm sorry, I don't know what to say to kids." I don't know what my dad, I should ask him what he said.
I love that.
He yelled at.
Yes. Hell yeah. I mean, if only, because your dad was not religious, right? Like
no,
this wasn't his church or camp or whatever.
My parents weren't. My sister went because I think she'd made out with boys she liked and it was fun for her being 6 years older than me.
Yeah.
It's like,
she's not so literal as you are.
She wasn't
like, I can kind of take or leave this hell shit. I'm not too worried about it.
Her and I are both on the same page now, for certain. But that's at least how I remember it. Maybe my dad just told me, yelled at him, whatever. You know how you add images to stories and sometimes.
Yeah.
It's called lying. That whole story didn't happen. I've never been to a camp.
You know what it's called? It's called good podcasting.
That's right.
Yeah. Just kind of take a thread of a distant memory and just pull that shit out and entertain us.
That's what Louis C.K. said. He said a lot of his stories that people 100% believe he totally is embellishing.
He told you that on the phone?
It was, I don't know, a podcast or something.
I think you might be embellishing that.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, he was on our podcast, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. We were at the gym. We were swimming. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I can't remember.
He was whispering to you underwater.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I like to do in my pool?
I'm a liar. That's how it sounded. I love Foley work. I'm glad that.
It's really good.
Thanks.
I feel like it's going to be a major part of this new studio.
I think so.
Incarnation. I was going to say incarceration. Chris?
Yeah? This sounds like a conclusionary tone.
No, I was going to say something but it's totally left my mind now.
Were you gonna did you have to make amends?
Want me to?
No.
Uh-oh. Now I have to figure out what the problem is. No, I was gonna say I have a pool.
Oh yeah.
Which I don't talk about that much because I don't wanna brag at people.
People are gonna think you're like Richie Rich.
Right.
It's a normal pool. It's not
it's a pretty fucking great pool.
Your house is modest, it's not fancy.
I do not clean it.
Yeah, the pool, it's very small. You're not bragging. Trust me, her house is almost, it's a meager dwelling that happens to have a cement surrounded body of water behind it.
It's almost by chance, as opposed to having anything to do with me. But when I'm in that pool sometimes, I like to lay back, ears underwater,
okay,
look at the sky,
sure,
and then tell myself that I'm actually laying forward. Have you ever done this?
No.
Where you just, in your mind, entertain the idea that what if you're actually facing down inside a way bigger pool?
You mean drowning?
No.
Okay.
Because you can still breathe. You're on your back.
Okay.
But you're just picturing that the sky is the pool that you're looking into.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
It's a real trip out. And it's like for that feeling when you're underwater and you kind of don't know where you are anymore. It's really fun.
I'm afraid my brain is too much of a vault and it won't go out on that limb.
I'm just saying, test it out.
I'm gonna.
Just take a blowtorch to that vault. See if you can't get in there.
Yeah.
And let the magic.
See if there's some Barabons, maybe.
See if there's not a secret diamond necklace in one of those boxes.
That'd be the best.
Wouldn't you? This just came to me. If there was an apocalypse, everybody died but a handful of people, I would go to a bank and just start fucking open those boxes.
Thought you were going to say, would I start eating people?
We could do that one too.
Yeah, of
course. But wouldn't it be fascinating? Those are things no one else can look at, no one else can get to. What are people putting in there? A human hand.
Yeah.
Cougarans.
Just some doilies that have meaning. Grandmother gave me these doilies.
They were Hitler's stuff. It's all Hitler stuff.
Everyone
and
has.
And secret clues to things that no one is like, well, here's that knife I killed her with and all those other people.
I guess I'll wrap it up in this map I drew.
Yes. Don't you want to?
Yeah, I want to have an adventure.
Me too.
But I won't. I'll probably go home and nap.
have the adventure in your mind, in your dreamscape.
Yeah, I'd prefer to do it that way. It's safer.
I want to go out of town, though. I haven't left town in a really long time.
I'm going to Houston in the morning.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
What club?
It's called The Joke Joint.
Is it the comedy, the Laugh Stop isn't there anymore,
no,
right?
Those were the glory days, I feel, of Houston comedy. That place closed, but it's still nice to go back there.
And Mark Babbitt.
And old Babbitt.
Babbitt.
People like to say things about Babbitt. He was the guy that got me going.
Mark Babbitt had great taste and gave really talented young people a chance.
Oh, yeah. That was the first time I ever saw you, is he made me watch your Girls Guitar Club.
Aw.
There was a green room there, and there was one tape, and he's like, you should watch this. And it was great. Yeah.
Were your arms crossed? You're like, I could do this.
It's like, what the fuck? No, no, they weren't, because I cannot play guitar and sing. It makes me very nervous to even think about to this day.
I headlined the Laugh Stop. First time I ever headlined anywhere, and last, I think. It was so fun.
Yeah, I loved that place.
Yeah.
He didn't care if you were weird and went out on a limb and it didn't work and you ate it. Because
yeah.
That's what happened to me every time. He's like, I thought it was great. I used to do these drawings.
On like stage?
Yeah. And it ended up being a hidden pentagram and like a drawing instruction guy. It was like a sketch that I would do.
Oh, like a Bob Ross thing?
Yeah. And it's...
And the audience was like, talk about your balls.
Mm-hmm. No, there was plenty of balls in drawing.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
No, I always leave room for balls. You know that about me.
That's what Grandma used to say.
It's one of the things that priest held up was his balls. Well, I think this went well. I mean, it's good to test the water. Yeah. And let's just breathe. Let's breathe outwardly. There we go. This felt good. I'm glad we did a studio.
It's real.
Honestly, and it's because I've been paranoid, and maybe I'm a hypochondriac, all that stuff, but I've started to think that we were going to injure someone in the car. Like, what if we really, it really almost happened a few times.
Yeah.
Like, the close calls. How awful would that have been? It's a dangerous... What we're doing is dangerous, and it's a lot of hard work, and it's hard to go to the airport. And I didn't know that. I just thought we had a great idea, but a lot of
our
guests
were having fun.
Would be like, this must be hard to keep
doing. And
then
we'd be like, yeah, it kind of
is. It is hard. Why'd you have to say that?
We don't like it.
And then I just started to, I'm real paranoid. I'd have thoughts about it all the time. Like, what if we got sideswiped?
Yeah.
Our guest got injured or something. It's scary. I don't know.
I just
Now
was,
I've said it.
Well... And it can't happen anymore. Right. A truck drives through this room. I was always just bummed because I can't get my car clean. It can't be clean. I need to get rid of that car and get a car that has like leather or fake leather seats. So
can I get one of those BMW little cars?
Oh yeah, like those little toy cars.
They look like you rub them on the carpet and let them go.
I love those cars.
Yeah, they're pretty nice.
But yeah, something that's more dog friendly.
Yeah.
Because mine is...
Oh, as far as wiping off the surfaces.
I don't want to be the person that's like, hey, come into this ball of hair and I'll drive you around.
Right,
It's gross. But then, like, anytime we'd go to leave, I would have to back time it, which I'm not good at doing in my normal life, so that I could clean for, like, an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Just so it would get decent enough for people to be inside it.
And I thought it was a good solution to put the sheet over, but sometimes they'd sit in there and they can't find the seatbelt hole that you ripped in the sheet.
Yep.
And then they're like, oh, I don't have a seatbelt. It's like, ah, you'll be fine.
Yeah. Then I get real like my dad in the 70s was like, ah, take it easy. Don't make a big deal about it. And just like, yeah, everybody likes seatbelts. It's kind of a thing.
It's really the hottest thing out there, right?
It's very right popular for a reason.
Nothing more popular. Not flying out of a windshield is the new Rolling Stones.
Should we do a couple plugs before we go bye?
Yeah. Yep.
Because we get to do, I think it's becoming, we get to do Business Class the second Tuesday of every month.
Am I on it again?
Hell yeah.
Yes.
You're on, April and I agreed. I thought we told you this last time.
She just says nice things sometimes.
Oh, you need it from the old Negativo to know it's real.
I need it from your 70s dad.
Hey, listen, Jesus, you did a great job. You get to do it every time. All right? No, quit making a big deal about it. Show off, time's over. There you go. That was Jim.
I almost took the cane out from under you. Take that tone with me.
Ah, Jesus Christ.
I like this character. he's great.
I can slip into Jim anytime if you need. come on.
A lot of people go, that's what she said. You know, they used to. Thank God they don't. But I've replaced it with just going, So that's what that meant.
So if something is a double entendre or slightly sexual, let's try it.
Okay.
You know, I've been playing a lot of tennis lately, but I just don't know where to put the balls.
There we go.
Yeah, this is something.
Yeah, I think we're on to something.
June 8th is the second Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost positive Sam Blair just emailed me. But please come to business class at the Improv Lab. Hollywood Improv Lab, the second Wednesday of June. We will be there. It's April Richardson and I hosting. Chris Fairbanks will be there. And then a bevy of other people we've asked and forgotten we asked. And we'll try to remember and bring back.
Yeah, it'll be great.
It'll be super fun.
And I would like to plug these shirts I made. I really like them. If you like the movie The Warriors, they're soft cotton. They're very soft. They're good quality.
I'm getting
one. I don't want these Hanes beefy tees that'll scrape you up and cut off your nips, and then everyone's saying, oh, nice stigmata.
Oh, stigmata.
Yeah.
Go see the priest and his daughter.
Yeah, have a nice soft shirt and enjoy your summer camp.
Really quick.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the kind of shirt where the design is like screen, as opposed to a big thick thing on top?
It's very lightly. Yeah. Probably, if you closed your eyes and just kind of pinched and twisted the fabric, someone could put your fingers on to where it's screen printed, or maybe just the sleeve, and you would not know. Just as soft where the ink is. And I'm not sure. I haven't received them yet.
But they must be.
From the photos, I can tell that it's a light screen print. It's not a big, bold, just
thing that
slather.
It starts to feel like you're wearing a sandwich board on the front of your shirt.
I don't like that.
It's
amazing how my shirts have that.
It bugs me.
Makes you sweat.
It just makes me not wear the shirt.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
Anyhow. Did you give that website? Sorry?
Oh, sorry. It's one, it's onecolor.com.
KKK color, right?
WNE one color, but color with a K. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah.
.com.org.net.
I believe it's .com.
.edu.
Yes. Yeah. And then you can just see the Chris Fairman. There'll be a shirt on there with my face in the corner, and it's got a bridge. It says The Warriors. There we go. Yeah.
So it's basically the Warriors basketball logo, but instead of normal writing for the Warriors, it's the writing from the 70s movie, The Warriors.
Exactly.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. It's an idea I had late one night. I had had some whiskeys.
Yeah.
And threw it together. Who says drinking's bad?
Yeah, not Hemingway and not you, my friend.
Yeah, God, my liver hurts when I laugh.
Swim it off.
You've been listening.
Oh, Jesus. Swim it off.
Oh,
quit complaining.
Oh, you're slipping into gym again. Sometimes I'll mix it up. slipping into gym. Hey! Zip! Okay.
That's the end.
Oh, my God. I'm a child. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? DYNAR.
Honk, honk.